Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Would you read together with me the title of this morning's sermon, Just Ordinary, based on 1 Samuel chapter 3, initially these verses. Now there was a certain man from Ramah, from the hill country of Ephraim, and his name was Elkanah. He had two wives. The name of one was Hannah. The other was Peninnah. And Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. Now this man would go up from his city year after year to worship and to sacrifice to the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. I encourage you to find your worship folder and turn there to the sermon outline. Follow along as we consider our theme, Just Ordinary. Well, how do you respond to the word ordinary? When you look up the word in the dictionary, the word comes from the Latin language and it means regular, according to order, unchanging. Our young people might say ordinary really means boring. The ordinary, by the way, the ordinary is the section of the liturgy that does not change from Sunday to Sunday. Things like the invocation in the name of the triune God at the beginning of the service, the benediction, the blessing at the end, the Lord's Prayer and the prayers, the creed, that is the ordinary. The adjective ordinary means customary, normal, unexceptional. And one half of the entire church year, from June to November, from after Pentecost to Advent, is called ordinary time. And the colors for ordinary time during this season are green. 35 years in the ministry, this is now my third set of green stoles. Unlike the other ones, why? I've worn them out because of ordinary use. Are you excited about ordinary yet? But what is God up to in ordinary time? In the day-to-day, same old days in your and my life, what's God's up to? There's a wonderful story in the Old Testament about ordinary time. It's found in 1 Samuel chapter 1. It takes place between the miraculous time, a deliverance from Egypt, an entrance to the promised land, and between that miraculous time and the glorious time of the kings of Israel, of Saul and David and Jonathan. But right now in 1 Samuel, we find the people of God in more of an ordinary time. The text says that year after year after year, Elkanah went up to worship at Shiloh. Elkanah was a man from the hill country. Year after year, he went to a town called Shiloh to give his offering to sacrifice to the Lord. Year after year, it was an ordinary routine. And year after year, he would take with him two wives, Peninnah, who had a lot of children, and Hannah, who had none. The text says that year after year, Hannah wept because in her ordinary existence, she had no children. Listen to a portion of the text. When the day came that Elkanah sacrificed, he would give portions to Peninnah, his wife, to all her sons and daughters. But to Hannah, he would give a double portion, for he loved Hannah. But her womb had been closed. Her rival, however, Peninnah, would provoke her bitterly to irritate her because her womb was closed. And this happened year after year. As often as she went up to the house of the Lord, she would provoke her. So Hannah would weep and not eat. In the ancient world, for a woman, nothing was worse than not being able to have a baby. But it was worse for Hannah because of the constant, nonstop, which almost became ordinary taunting by Peninnah. Aha, I've got all these children and you've got none. This went on, the text says, year after year with no end in sight. For Hannah, her life was painfully ordinary. It was all ordinary time for Hannah. How about you? Does this sound like maybe anything in your life when others around you seem to always be celebrating? Life is so good and you so often seem to be stuck in a rut. The same old, everything seems so ordinary. If this ordinary time also is particularly painful for you, then it's natural to wonder, where is God? And what is God up to in the ordinary times of my life? Well, Hannah, look at your outline. Hannah wept and she prayed and she vowed at the tabernacle in Shiloh. Listen to the text. Elkanah, her husband, said to her, Hannah, why do you weep? Why do you not eat? Why is your heart sad? Am I not better to you than even 10 sons? Then Hannah arose after eating and drinking in Shiloh. Now Eli the priest was sitting by the seat of the doorpost of the temple of the Lord. And Hannah, greatly distressed, prayed to the Lord and wept bitterly. She made a vow and she said, O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look upon the affliction of your maidservant and remember me, and not forget me, but will give your maidservant a son, then I will give him to you, Lord, all the days of his life, and a razor shall never come upon his head. Give me a son, said Hannah, and I'll make sure he never cuts his hair. What's that about? It's a Hebrew way of saying, I will dedicate him to you, Lord. He will take the Nazarite vow. He will become a priest and a servant of the Lord. Never shall he cut his hair. And my friends, ordinary time was over for Hannah when her son Samuel was born. Listen to the text. They arose early in the morning and they worshiped before the Lord and returned again to their house in Ramah. And Elkanah had relations with his wife Hannah, and the Lord remembered Hannah. It came about in due time after Hannah had conceived. She gave birth to a son and she named him Samuel because I have asked of the Lord and he heard me. Now in time, Hannah had 3 more sons and 2 more daughters. And she named her firstborn special boy Samuel because in Hebrew, Samuel means God hears me. He heard her prayer. And although it had been difficult for Hannah to see that God was at work caring for her in her ordinary times, he was doing just that. My friends, God is at work in our ordinary times, whether we can see it or not. Even in our ordinary times, in the same old, God is behind the scenes at work, taking care of you and me. Dear Lord, we pray today for spiritual eyes to see your care for us when our physical eyes can't see it. Dear Lord, today we pray for spiritual ears to hear your message of love and care for us when our physical ears aren't hearing. I was thinking about this as I prepared the sermon this week, taking stock of all the years of past ministry, how many numbers and numbers of people have come to me with these words, Pastor, I couldn't see it when I was going it through it in the middle of it all. It all seemed so monotonous and non-ending and ordinary, like nothing was ever going to change. But looking back at the events in my life, Pastor, I came to realize that God was there, that God cared, that he was at work for me. My friends, God is at work today in your ordinary times and in mine. And God spoke to Hannah's son Samuel in an ordinary time. 1 Samuel 3:1 says this. Now the boy Samuel grew and was ministering to the Lord before Eli. And a word from the Lord was rare in those days, and visions were infrequent. Little Samuel now was living at the Shiloh Tabernacle. He was apprenticing under the priest Eli, like a vicar and a supervising pastor. But it was ordinary times for Israel, the text says. There was no new revelation from God. There was no startling revelation from God. It was just the same old. But Samuel used his spiritual ears, and he heard and he answered God's call, which led him to be a great servant for all the people of Israel. And my friends, there was a man whose name was Elijah. And God spoke to Elijah as he listened in his ordinary times. You'll find this in 1 Kings 19. Maybe you remember the prophet Elijah. He was alone on the mountaintop waiting for a revelation from God. And 1 Kings 19 tells us this beautiful refrain. God was not in the magnificent wind. God was not in the amazing fire. God was not in the shocking earthquake. But God came to Elijah in a still, small, ordinary voice. And that's how God comes to us today. In the quiet, ordinary of our lives, He comes to us. God still speaks to us. Can you hear Him? In our ordinary times, dear Lord, give us ears to listen when things are ordinary, as they are so much in each of our lives. I encourage you, my dear friends, to really listen. Listen for God's message to you in His still, small voice. He speaks to us Sunday after Sunday in such ordinary things like a message from this pulpit, the water in that baptismal font, the bread and wine, the body and blood upon this altar, your daily time of prayer and devotion at home. God is speaking to you. And dear Lord, help us to know, won't you? That you act at just the right time for us. In Galatians 4, verse 4, we read this verse. But at just the right time, when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth His Son. The fullness of time is a wonderful phrase in the Greek language. It means when the time was just right. When the world was most ready, when we needed Him most, the Father who was behind the scenes at all times sent forth Jesus, His Son, to be our Savior. And what did He do at just the right time? Brad, on that cross of Calvary, He laid down His holy life for you. Surely on that cross He paid for your sins, there are many, and He made you white as snow. Kevin, on that cross, our Lord Jesus loved you with an everlasting love. God said, in the fullness of time, that's who God sent for you and me. And Romans 8 says this, then what shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare His own Son, but delivered Him over for us all, how will He not with Him give us all that we really need? What does that mean? When we trust that our Heavenly Father sent His greatest gift, Jesus His Son, to die upon that cross for the forgiveness of our sins and the gift of everlasting life, then we can trust Him in the day by day by day, same old ordinary times of our lives. Please note, glance down at your sermon outline, 4.C. Following Jesus, believe it or not, is not a non-stop, extraordinary roller coaster ride of non-stop excitement. Now, there are some well-meaning and well-known preachers and Christians who try to give us the idea that following Jesus is one non-stop roller coaster ride of never-ending excitement. But then, you may wonder, if you're anything like me, does that mean something's wrong with me? Because so often, our relationship with our Lord is just experiencing day by day the faithfulness of our Savior with us through thick and thin. Dear Lord, please today give us Hannah's patient hope and Samuel's faithful listening that You, Lord Jesus, are with us in our ordinary times. God is at work in our ordinary times, even when we can't see it. This brings us to the conclusion of our message and an illustration from the classic 1951 movie, The African Queen. The African Queen tells the story of a hard-drinking, hard-living Canadian man named Charlie Allnut, played by Humphrey Bogart, who runs a small steamboat up and down the rivers of Africa delivering goods. He also carries at this time the mail to a British missionary, played by Katharine Hepburn. But when World War I breaks out, and the German troops burn Rose's church and her home, Charlie and Rose are compelled to flee on the African Queen boat down the river. Their destination is a large lake downriver where they can find safety with the Allied troops. But on this river, they face one danger after another. Insect attacks, German bullets, dangerous rapids, and especially frustrating to them, all around them, as far as the eye can see, the monotonous, never-ending marshes and ordinary reeds blocking their view of all things. The African Queen soon bogs down on a marsh, on a mudflat, surrounded by these ordinary, endless reeds, and they're stuck. Charlie has to jump into the water and wade the shallows by pulling the boat with the rope. But he shudders when he quickly finds leeches all over his arms and his back and his legs. Rose, the missionary, Katharine Hepburn, jumps in the water too, trying to move the boat. But they expend all their strength and they can't move the boat. They're hopelessly stuck. Hope has run out. Charlie says to her, and I won't give a Humphrey Bogart imitation here. Charlie says to Rose, "Hey, Rosie, you want to know the truth? Even if we had all our strength, we couldn't get her off this mud. We're finished." And Charlie drifts off to sleep. They resign themselves to death. And Rose speaks a prayer. I quote, "Dear Lord, we've come to the end of our journey. In a little while, we'll stand before You. Open the doors of heaven for Charlie and me." Then she drifts off to sleep. Now, the camera in this movie draws us back to reveal to us what Charlie and Rose cannot see because of the endless, non-ending, ordinary reeds and marshes that surround them. The African Queen is less than 100 yards from the shining lake and safety. The camera then transports us upriver to the stream's beginning, where a torrential downpour is coming, swelling the river, coming downstream, lifting the African queen off of the mudflat. Charlie and Rose awaken to the gentle rocking of the boat and a refreshing breeze. They are safe and secure in the lake. They've made it. They're just fine. But you see, their eyes could not see it, because they were surrounded by the endless, same old, ordinary reeds. But behind the scenes, God was at work. And here, my friends, is the truth from our 1 Samuel text about the lives of Hannah and Samuel. And here is the truth for each of us in this ordinary time in our lives. In the day after day, in the same old, in the ordinary times of our lives, even when our eyes cannot see it, our loving Lord is at work behind the scenes. What is God up to in our ordinary time? Make no mistake about it. He's taking care of you, and He's taking care of me. In Jesus' name, Amen.